This is Helen Camphouse. Today's date is the 3rd of November, and the time is 10 past 10. I'm conducting an interview with...
Say your name.
Okay, thank you. For Quilters SOS and Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilters. Stop it. And Marilyn and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. And Marilyn will tell, will you tell me about what, the quilt that you brought today?
I have to go backwards a little bit. I am not a math student. Every math class I ever took in my entire life, and so I talked to my husband a little bit about quilting, so he could draft the patterns and figure out how I should make them. And the hardest time was to explain seam allowance to him. He could not get that, but he has been very supportive of me. And I saw this quilt, this particular quilt, I saw in Houston. I believe this was in 2008 because I had a quilt hanging in an exhibit here. This was an exhibit that Carrie and Nancy put on, and it's a book. So here is this little quilt that was, this says 1850 on it.
Right.
And I gave this little picture to my husband, and I said, okay, draw this over for me. And he did. But the really interesting thing about this, it's not made like any other quilt that we've seen. I've ever seen one more. Terry Collier Thompson, a famous quilt author and designer of fabric, had another one, and it was from 1840. So we designed this thing, and then we get around to here, to this outside border, and we cannot figure it out. And we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And one night, in the middle of the night, my husband sat bolt right up out of the bed, and he said, I got it! And he wasn't awake, and he laid back down. And this is the way this quilt, the outside borders don't go top, bottom, left, right. They are a great big huge triangle. And like I say, this is you can see it if you're a little closer here. But I love this quilt because my husband helped me. And he not only helped me figure out the math. Actually, he would correct it. If he didn't want me to cut off something at the edge, he would, like they did a lot of times, he would correct it, and he helped me pick the colors.
Okay. And you explained that it's a little bit different to other quilts. What do you mean about the setting? You can share.
Most borders go, you put the top and the bottom on, the outside borders, and then you put the left and the right on. Well, this one, we couldn't figure it out because the geese ran across the corner.
Right.
So it's actually the outside four triangles, which are big and have a lot of parts. They're actually the whole, what we'd call the whole border. I tried to duplicate it from this book of the book show in 2008, and I think I did okay.
Yeah,
I think
it looks very similar
like that. So that is, they have 1850 on it. So I think one of the other ones I saw just like this was 1840, 1850, maybe even into 1860. And I tried to be true on the fabric. But it means a lot to me because my husband helped me quite a bit.
Yeah. And does your husband help you with more quilts or just this one?
I've made 350 quilts.
350,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I forgot to put a sleeve on this one. They don't all get sleeves, most of them still live with me. And I consider myself to be a first generation quilter who taught her mother how to quilt.
Okay.
And I am in a group called the 19th Century Patchwork Divas. We have hung in Houston and we've had an exhibit in Houston two times in 2004 and 2008. We just had a book published about us by Kansas City Star, and it's just our quilts, and they're all from the 1800s. And so this has been an exciting year. So the Kansas City Star book, and then in this book, and next year's going to be very dull and boring. Nothing as exciting is going to happen to me.
Well, it's not 2012 yet. You never know. But what, if you could you describe yourself, what kind of quilter are you? A traditionalist?
I started out in 1985, and I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There might have been maybe one quilt shop.
Okay.
And I would hire a babysitter to watch my children, and I would drive 30 miles to the quilt shop. And the first quilt I made was a two-color quilt, which I really like. I've just gotten away from that, obviously, with this very, very scrappy mm-hmm. quilt. But I tied their quilts, and they thought they were like comforters, and they still have them, and they love them. And they don't, my boys don't particularly care for the old quilts, which mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'm going to do with 300. Well, mm-hmm. when I die, that's somebody else's problem, but we have to make sure the oldest one does not sell them on eBay. That's fine.
Yeah.
So the organization I'm in, we do basically 1800 time period, mm-hmm. and a lot of our quilts will be very extremely explicit. You cannot use any fabric after 1840. So then we have to go through our stashes, and we have to identify who might have been 1840. And there, we have some people who are true. I'm not sure what the word is, but they will not use it if it's.
And how do you get your fabric then?
Well, there's very few shops that have it in the Dallas-Fort Worth mm-hmm. area, so we go to them. And I think I forgot to say, we're a block exchange. So my quilt, this quilt here, mm-hmm. in this form of quilt this year, there are probably 18 to 20 participants in this quilt. It's
okay.
got my name on it, but I didn't make all these blocks. I just put them together.
Okay.
So.
And do you work a lot with other quilters? Are you it's a collaborative?
Well, we meet a couple times a year, and then we decide what we buy. A lot of the state study books. We buy like the New Jersey book, the Virginia book.
Mm-hmm.
The farther up north you go, the books are just wonderful traditional quilts.
Yeah.
And so we'll see a quilt that we want to try to reproduce, and what we do is we'll set our colors, and we'll set the time period, and then we'll make the blocks, but then it's up to us to set it any way we want it.
Okay.
There's another one in this book similar to this set, totally different, and
okay.
you might not even recognize that these are actually the same blocks.
Okay.
But we meet a couple times a year and pick what we're going to, what we'd like to do for the next year, and you know, then we have one lady who really keeps us grounded, and she does all the this fabric, don't use this one, here's the measurements, and you will be murdered in your bed if you don't have it turned in on time.
Okay. A harsh woman.
we actually have probably had 42 exchanges, something like that, and we've probably made a total of 250 quilts, and there's probably that many in bags that mm-hmm. just don't get anything. So we actually do get things finished.
Do you prefer working in a group together making a quilt, or do you?
We actually don't. We very seldom have any sew together days. It's harder to find a place that you can get for the mm-hmm. weekend or for mm-hmm. two people. We have a retreat once a year. We call it the Diva Retreat, and we all try to all get together and sew. But basically, we don't have any. Let's have a sewing day.
Okay.
Okay. And some of the people that have been in it forever have done two quilts, and I've been in it forever, and I've done 26.
Okay.
I've done every one that I've.
Yeah.
I don't like quilts in bags, little things in bags.
Mm-hmm.
So I finish, but we're either high achievers or we're not. So.
Okay. And that retreat, the ID. Becomes you think of what you're going to make?
This last one we just had we just brought whatever we wanted to.
Okay.
Finished five projects and the other people were not working on the same.
Okay.
Ones. We do have retreats, not particularly with our group, but we do one every year with Jo Morton. She's a famous author, fabric maker for Andover Fabrics, and she comes down from Nebraska. So we all sign up for that and go, and she teaches. But the Diva Retreat is just a fun
one. Yeah.
Get things first.
Okay. Are there other quilt makers in your family? Are
no.
You, no?
Well, I think one of my sisters does make quilts and purses and clothing. She even has a blog now. Basically, out of six children, there's just two of us.
Okay.
And my mother never seemed to get very good at it.
Okay, okay. She
Yeah.
But you influenced your mother, or
I
was
think
it?
I was quilting before she was.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a studio or a sewing place?
I have a very small room.
Okay.
And I evidently am very neat because people tell me I am, but I don't like to look for an hour and a half or something. I have a lot of the elf unit storage little drawers, and I have no room for anything.
How much time would you be spending on your quilting
every day? I need to put a sign on the door, do not go in this room until you exercise, but that doesn't happen. So I also listen to books on tape, so
okay.
I get two for when I go.
Oh,
I get to listen to my book, and I get to sew, and I've taken a couple of weeks off recently to do yard, dig up a yard, plant a lot of things. That's kind of nice, too, because it'll be exciting when I get back to it. With the Diva exchanges, you do have deadlines. You have to get X amount of months to come back at a certain time. They really will come work on you and your bins.
Okay, okay. And why do you keep staying then in the group if they're so...
I begged to get in this group.
Okay.
And with the internet, people know who we are all over the world, and it's really, really fun. Because we can almost say... in fact, we have. We don't even go through the whole title. We just say Diva. You're a Diva? How do I become one? And
yeah.
What's really interesting is after we hung here in 2008, we had people keep coming up to us saying, how do you do this? How do you get a group organized? How do you do a blog exchange? And it's not even hard.
Yeah.
You just have to decide what you're going to do and sort of have a little bit of a leader, and you have to do it. And hopefully this book that just came out, Kansas City Star published it. I'm so bad. I can't remember if it's History Revisited or History Renewed. I can't remember. But that tells you a little bit about how you can do a blog exchange.
Okay.
And supposedly we are about the only group in the United States that have stayed grounded and stayed focused and continue on with this many groups. And
yeah,
this actually isn't one. I did this one all by myself. This
yeah.
one is.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay. It says on the form that you've also owned or worked in a quilt shop.
Yes. I'm an RN, actually, in my first life, and I haven't done that for a while, but I was in a quilt shop one day, and I was spending so much money, and that was before the price of yard had just gone up so much.
Yeah.
And I said, I need a job, and I ended up working there for about 7 years, and of course I didn't bring money home. I just left it all with them. But you get to see everything new that comes in, and you actually come up with more ideas because you think, I saw a quilt somewhere and this would really look good, and it got me in trouble a lot, but I made a lot of things, and I miss it a little bit. I miss the people. There's some very nice people that I've met for quilting, but I don't miss standing up all day long on a cement board.
If I understand correctly, you very focused on history of quilting.
Yes.
Have you participated in other preservation projects?
No. Just selfish, I guess. No, I haven't. I should.
Yeah.
I have never, and I'm not in the guild right now, which would be helpful too. A lot of people really don't like this period of quilt. They don't like the look. They say, I've actually had people say they look dark and dirty.
I don't agree.
I guess I can understand that, because if I ever do stop and make a bright baby quilt, I call it eye candy because it's so much much different from what I do, but there are the bubblegum pinks and the poison greens and the chrome yellows. Mm-hmm. They're really, really bright. Mm-hmm. So there were bright colors back then. But this is a little bit darker.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like that. The big differentiation between a really dark and a really light, and there's not a lot of light as it's
not. You notice that?
Okay. Tell you.
Yeah, they will tell you even.
Tell you. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I like that.
Okay. But what attracts you to this period?
I've thought about it, and I have no idea. But why did I like quilting? I've done everything else I could think of: cross stitch and mosaic. And it was like I came home with quilting. That's where I've stayed for years. And I don't know why do I like this. The minute I get to 1900, I don't like it. And heaven forbid you show me 1930.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for it at all. I have no idea. I can't. I've never.
But is it the color or the kind of patterns? Or
I think sometimes when we say we copy a quilt from another, like a New Jersey study book,
mm-hmm.
I think it's almost like paying homage to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you know their name, sometimes you don't. The very, very, very first one I ever tried to reproduce, I can't even remember what year it was. It was probably 20 years ago, and there were no reproduction fabrics to speak of out there. So I actually turned things over backwards. And it may not have been 20 years ago, but Paul Pilgrim, I entered it in the Dallas Quilt Show.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pilgrim was there as a judge. And it was the first quilt I ever entered, which is, you really have a good little bit of an advantage over that. But he stood there and looked at it. Really special to me that and he didn't see the picture that I tried to copy it from. It really did. It did look like it. It's mm-hmm. it's just there's another lady in our group, and she and I both get magnifying glasses out. We actually will look at an old quilt with a magnifying glass in it, and then out of your 5,000 pieces, try to find it. That's, you know, it's there somewhere, and you just can't find it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a special one to me because my husband has it.
Okay.
This is my way to be.
Right. you just explained already a little bit what draws you to this, to quilting and why this quilt. But could you kind of elaborate a little bit more why you are drawn to quilting?
The really funny thing is there's not a lot of brown in these, and I never could wear brown with my coloring, and I always hated brown, and now I love brown. I love it. We had one lady say brown one time. No brown had three syllables. It's just, I really don't know. It's just, we were told one time that if we did not put labels on our quilts, that they are so true to
the original.
The original,
mm-hmm.
That 100 years from now, they will not know if it was 2010
mm-hmm.
or 1870.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'd be able to figure out with the machine quilt, but still, they look that, they're that close to what we look at. I have a tendency to want to duplicate the original.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will set them differently, which is why we were able to pull off the book for mm-hmm. Kansas City Star, mm-hmm. because we had different settings for different blocks, and it worked. So, and hopefully it'll be a little bit of an educational book for people out there who might like to do block exchanges.
And the quilting, like you just explained, is machine quilting. Do you also have hand quilted?
A lot of the divas that I've had to come in quilt, they're all hand. They use, they do a utility stitch, which I don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at that many old quilts, but I have never seen it on an old quilt. But they
mm-hmm.
said they did it, and they use pearl cotton,
mm-hmm.
and they use a big needle, and they'll probably have maybe 5 stitches per inch, and they get those things done in 2 months. My husband doesn't really say much, but he said, "Yeah, I really like the little tiny stitches." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to live long enough to hand quilt 350 quilts here." But so the quilt, the quilter that we use loves the reproduction quilts, and she will take a book like this and she will take a little flashlight and she'll turn it a little bit sideways and she'll shine the flashlight down on it, and she says she can see the antique quilting. And so she's actually even copied a lot of the antique quilting. I took her up courthouse steps the other day and she said, well, I'm not even going to let you at tell me what you want because it has to be done in
this way,
this particular mm-hmm. way. And she was right. So she's done a lot of really old designs for us. I still don't really know why I like this period, but I really I like, oh, there's serpentine, and there's just wonderful stripes. What's really, really cool, and this has happened a couple of times, is I've gone to a couple of lectures Terry Clover Thompson has, and she will just throw on the corner all of these real fabrics from 1800s, and we will see something down there on the floor that somebody's reproduced. And so there's the original, and then we have the I don't know what you call it, knockoff at home. So a lot of these are actually true to say this one probably was actually just totally duplicated, totally replicated. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting talking to different people who design different fabrics, who how they are able to do it. Well, one lady that we know that designs the company requires that she owns the quilt, and another company said they don't care what she hands them as long as the repeat's there. Mm. So they're all different what they require.
But it's not the history that attracts you.
Yes, and then it's the fact that some of these women who didn't have anywhere near the tools we have, or the lights, mm-hmm. or anything, they pulled these off.
Yeah.
And some of them looked like they were either on drugs or needed to be on drugs. You know, they were just wild. And that's kind of interesting to come across a really wild one from 1850, 1860. The majority of people would look at this quilt and go, ugh, I don't like that. But, I don't know, it was just a challenge.
I think it's a great quilt, yeah. Do you... you don't sleep under your own quilts. That's what you're saying. No, you always use them to show them?
No, I just, they're folded here, and they all live at home with me. And that's the next problem. We either have to move or I need to quit making quilts. I had some visitors here last week from Australia, mm-hmm. and they wanted to see them, so I got to get a lot of them out, and it was just like it was wonderful because I hadn't looked at them in a long time, and I thought, oh, I like this one, I like this one, but this is my favorite one, and oh, no, that's my favorite one, and it's fun, it's just, but I don't know what's going to happen to them all.
Does it worry you a little?
Yeah. I have one son I know is going to sell them on eBay, and I'm going to have to come back and... Maybe not. It made a difference to them when their mom was put in a book.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, maybe there is something to this.
Yeah.
And they seem to be a little proud.
Yeah. But they don't quite appreciate the quilting. Why is it important for you, though?
To quilt?
Yeah. Because you're getting some bad feedback from some people, and you still continue.
Well, I did go to one group that, they just almost, we said, ragged on you here, knocked everything I did. I just kind of quit going to that group. But there's a lot of people that do batiks and they do brights, and they really don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea. It's like somebody snapped their finger one day, and I said, okay, that's it. That's where I want to be. And that's what I want to do. And I do other things too. I do what they call blended quilts, which actually have no high contrast at all. And I like that a lot too. That's really like painting with fabric. This was a challenge just to find pieces that might have looked like the ones. But it's probably selfish, self gratification. It makes me happy.
Sometimes but how do you mean it's selfish?
Sometimes I don't dust the house, and sometimes I don't do that. I always cook a meal for my husband because That's why he married me, because I was a good cook and I don't want to lose that. But, I probably spent a little bit too much time on it, but that's okay. I don't want to do anything else.
Yeah. And sometimes you can share with your husband.
Yes.
Which artist influenced you? It's the historical quilters?
One that walked in the store, walked in the shop the other day, that kind of got me on one thing was Roberta Portman came out with a book years ago about plaids, and nobody was using plaids, and she's not particularly historical, but there are a lot of plaids from the 1800s. You know, just the state study books that they get the grants for. I keep saying it, New Jersey, it's just an awesome book. Virginia's an awesome book. The Carolinas is an awesome book. And as to people, I don't know. Of course, I follow Margaret Bracken, and she was partners with Terry Thompson, Terry Clothier Thompson. And we got to go up to Margaret Bracken's house and see a lot of her things. And I always follow and read everything she does. But one of my really good friends has written several books, and she's done several lines of fabric. So I guess I think about the other ones. I've never done a quilt study. I don't remember things. The older I get, the less I remember. So I just know I can't tell you when bubblegum came out. I should be able to. Can't.
And how do you want to be remembered as a quilt maker?
She was very proficient. I finish things. I do have some tops, but I don't have tops like a lot of other people. I actually finish them. Mm-hmm. And I put labels on them. Mm-hmm. They should be able to go right to it and see when I did it and what I did it for. It's interesting because I was thinking what I wanted on my tombstone, and that was not one of them. Maybe I should put that on there. I was fortunate enough to get the Daughters of the American Revolution a couple years ago, so I said, I want D.A.R. on my tombstone. Maybe I better put Quilter on there, too. That would be nice.
Okay.
Two great accomplishments.
What aspects of quilt making do you not enjoy?
I hate Lemoyne stars. I'm sorry, I've been making them. I don't make them very well. I should say I hate them. I don't like geese either, if they don't like me. Excuse me, I don't like geese. I don't like it when I go too fast. I know there's sometimes when you're on a deadline, you go too fast and you say, oh, I cut the point off again. But sometimes the exchanges get old, making 15 blocks of exactly the same thing. I pretty much enjoy almost all of them. What's really fun is to stop on something you have to do and just do something for yourself. And I don't do that a lot of times. I did do one recently. I did an 1860 courthouse step just for me, and I love it. And it was just for me. For no reason, and those are the kind of fun quilts too.
What do you plan with this quilt?
It was folded up, and when they said bring one that meant something special to me, there's an awful lot of them that actually do, but this one is probably my very favorite. Mm-hmm. And, it'll go back living with all the other ones in a little folded up, and it's nice to take it out and look at it. It's very nice to have a supportive husband, because everybody doesn't, and everybody's husband goes, or a lot of them go, another one. What are you doing that for? And I have to tell you one little quick story. We took our third child off to the University of Texas when he was going to be a junior, and he couldn't take a car because you have to have there aren't any parking spaces. You have to go through a lottery in Indiana. So we let him out of the car and said goodbye. Says, Dad, please tell me you're not going to come home and get foo-foo on us and start quilting. I think he thinks his father is foo-foo now.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought my husband was colorblind for 5 years.
Okay.
And he is isn't.
It isn't.
No. No. I thought he couldn't tell blues and green, but he can.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
The price of the fabric.
Okay.
Cotton supposedly is going, could be. Well, China had a cotton crop bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been told, don't be surprised if it goes to $13. So it's really hard to, well, it's up to $10.50 now. It's just amazing. I can't believe it. This is good for the cotton farmers here. Supposedly they're making more money than they make since Civil War. But you figure out how many yards go through the quilt.
But that's the only thing that we'll be confronting. I mean, next year, maybe
I
better crop.
I worry about the local town. I got to that worry that they may close, and that's where I buy my reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a town of 200,000, and I couldn't buy a button for it in that town. There's nowhere to buy thread, buttons, and things just keep closing and moving. Because I have enough things I need to do for years. But you still need bags and things, and you still need to run to a store. And I'm not really nuts about ordering online. I don't think you get the true color of the fabric always online. So I could probably quit with $350. I don't want to. I enjoy the whole process, I think. And I enjoy, I'll lay it on the floor in the living room. How he notices it and says, wow. And a lot of my friends just don't get that.
No. When you were invited for the interview, what message did you want to bring across? What was important for you? Or what would you have liked me to ask you?
Oh, no, you asked everything. You asked a lot more than I could. Just that, it was such a pleasure to be asked to be in this book. There's 22 of us in our group, and there's only two of us in this book. And it's, and I have a traditional one. There's not that many traditional ones in here. So that meant a lot to me. That I know this art form has taken a big turn. A good thing, but to me, this is what founders here in the traditional ones. And I was excited.
Yeah.
And this is not my favorite quilt, this was the easiest one I've ever made. There was no thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I made a lot more than I like better. This one just, I think this one hung here in 08, and that's probably where they saw it.
But your most important message is that people should focus a little bit more.
Do what they want to do. And I'm glad that they do. It's just that I like them to realize that the traditional, because everybody really likes the big bright quilts now, to realize that what got them there in the first place. Back a little bit, look at history sometimes.
So that's the most important message, to focus also on quilt history.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to wind down and finish the interview, unless you say no. Okay. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to interview for today at the Quilters SOS and Save Our Stories Oral History Project. I really appreciate it. And our interview concludes at 10:45. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You did a wonderful job.
Already put it on pause. So I think we can stop now.
Okay.